Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, for the blessings you give us. Lord, I can't imagine what we would do without the Bible. I can't imagine what we would do, Lord, if we were just to stumble through life not knowing for sure how to please you. But you've given us the Word of God. You've given us all these great parables. Every place we look, from Genesis to Revelation, there is wealth of knowledge, of all a jewel, Lord, that represents you and how we should live. Thank you for the parables, Father. I pray that you help me now to just speak to your people, but you could only speak to them through your heart, through their heart, to their hearts, Lord, through the Word of God. So, Father, please, in Jesus' name, we pray that our people would not only be receivers of the Word, but doers as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In the Matthew 13 kingdom parables, I love that section. Jesus explained what the church would be like until he returned. He indicated it would grow, but there would be wheat and tares, true and false believers in the church. And he stressed this in the two parables. And this is what we went over when we were looking at those parables, was the terrible indictment of judgment that would come. There would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There would be a time, there is a time that is set when God's angels will come to separate the true from the false. The parables also presented two challenges to us. No, kill that light, Mike, please. This way they can see the overhead. Thank you. The parables also presented challenges. In the first parable of the soils, the individual was responsible not only for receiving the Word of God, but for bearing fruit as well. In the eighth and final parable in that chapter, the scribe and the homeowner, the individual was responsible for what they did with the Word of God. And so you could see God was painting a very clear, a very simple picture of you're responsible to receive the Word of God and you're responsible for what you do with it. Simple. When you cut through everything, that's a very clear message. I hope you view the fact that God has revealed that he will hold us accountable as a good thing. As a good thing. You see, it's important to know what God expects of us so that we could do it. I remember when I was a young man and lived in New York, Long Island, and I always used to, you know, I had my eye on Wall Street. I thought, wow, how do you ever get a job down there? Okay? And so I'm growing up. I go into the Army. I come out. I come home. I didn't know where I was going to work. And Elena, she had a cousin who was a partner in one of the big Wall Street firms, and he got me a job there. Okay? And I go, wow, this is pretty neat. And it didn't take long for me to figure out, you know, I wanted to do good. I wanted to do good. And I knew then. You see, I made up my mind then as I was beginning my career walk. I need to find out what my boss wants, what he expects of me. And then if I do it, I'll be okay. See, same thing. Same thing here. That's why God's given us his word, so that we could find out what he expects of us and then do it. And then do it. And spiritually, you'll be okay. Doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties in life. Believe me, sometimes I think the more you try to follow God, the more difficulties you have. But you'll have the peace of God. And not only that, you can't just look at what happens down here. We have to look ahead to the day when we face Jesus to give an account for how we received the Word of God and what we did with it. That's the key. Don't focus down here. This stuff is only temporary. When we face Jesus, whatever happens at that seat between Jesus and each one of us will be for an eternity. That's what we should be concerned about. That's why I'm stressing over and over as often as I can. Make sure you know what God wants you to do. Be a God pleaser. Serve him in any capacity he wants. Now here, you know what it boils down to is this. Do you want to see God with a gleam in his eye or a frown on his face? It's going to be either one of those two. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Here in the parable of the lamp, now our Lord emphasizes the very thing we're talking about, living the Word of God. Living the Word of God. No lip service. God sees through that in a heartbeat. You can't fool him, as we'll see as we work through these three verses. Now, this parable is found in three Gospels. It's found here in Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. It's found in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And it's found in Mark, verses 4, 21 through 23. Now, while some of the words might be a little different, the message is still the same. And the message is this. All believers are light bearers. There is no secrecy with God. And his truth must be acted on. That's what we're going to speak about this morning, because that's what the parable teaches. So let's look at this. Believers are light bearers, Luke 8:16. God's word says, now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Now, in all three of versions of this parable, our Lord uses two different figures of speech. He uses in all three a lamp on a stand or a candle, as the King James Version has it. And in Matthew, he adds a city set on a hill. That's why it's good to read all the accounts in Scripture so you get a better picture. Now, why does he do this? Because he's telling us, he's describing the influence between a candle on a lampstand in a home and a city set on a hill lit. He's telling us the influence he expects us to have. A city set on a hill can be seen for miles and miles away, and it will affect many. A candle lit in the home will illumine everyone in that house. And so God is covering inside the home and outside the home that we're to be a light. Now, light is of a threefold nature. It is natural, it is artificial, and it is spiritual. The light from the sun is natural. The light from a candle is artificial. And the light from the Word of God is spiritual. This lamp in a home was usually a little clay dish with some oil and a wick. And it was lit and it was placed on a lampstand so that it would light greater. If you keep it low, it doesn't illuminate the room as much as if you were to put it on a lampstand so that all could see, all could benefit from the light of that candle. And the first thing we notice about a lamp is that a lamp has a specific purpose. It has a purpose. You know, over the years in ministry, I have spoken to Christian after Christian who was confused about what their purpose in life was. People would come to me and say, look, I'm not sure. What does God want me to do? What should I be? I'm so confused. The Bible is so big. And I could understand that, because there were times I questioned, God, what do you want me to do? And then as I began reading the Bible, this is why it's so important that God's people read the Word of God. I began to find out that there are very general purposes God lays out in the Bible for us to do. And then there are more specific purposes God wants us to do based upon the particular gifts he's given us and the calling he has given us. We don't all have to do the same thing. God doesn't call us all to do the same thing. So there are generalities and there are specifics. And the closer you get to God through word, reading the word and acting upon the word, the more God reveals to you and the more you get to know this. And so I want you to know that being a light bearer is one of the general things all believers are to be. All believers are to be light bearers. And a light bearer is, the reason for this is to be a light in a dark world. This is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He said, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see. In other words, they're in darkness. The light has to shine. It has to penetrate that darkness. They're in darkness. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now you may say, well, how do I radiate light? How do I do this, Pastor? And well, the whole idea is that number one, it's two parts. It's like a two-sided coin. Number one, we have to speak the word, right? Faith comes through hearing. So we're a light bearer in that we're giving the word of God. But then equally important as speaking the word of God, we have to live the word of God. See, this is where a lot of Christians stumble, in living the word of God. We'll talk about this more as we work through. But what good is just, you know what? Honestly, the world may be spiritually blind, but they could tell a phony. They could tell a phony. I remember in my early days, and I was just a new Christian, I would spend my lunch hour at work reading my Bible. Okay? I would read my Bible because I wanted to read my Bible. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I was just chose to read my Bible. And you know, people noticed this. But I'll tell you, as soon as I did something wrong, what did they throw up to me? And you read that Bible? You know, so what good is it? Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, but by golly, we have to live it. Do not be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Now, that's something only you could judge by yourself. And I'll tell you, if your heart is right towards God and you really want to be a doer of the word, the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're not. Jesus said, so that those who come in may see the light. That's our purpose. We're light bearers. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John wrote this. It's so important. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, look, just simple language. That verse should settle a lot of questions that Christians have raised over the time. Where's evil come from? Does God cause evil? Absolutely not. It's against his nature. In him, there is no darkness at all. Darkness in Scripture represents that which is evil, that which is against God. So any evil does not come from God. It comes from Satan, or it comes from our own sin nature, which is in itself evil. So God is light. Anything goes bad, he doesn't cause it. But praise God, he uses that bad thing to work it out for the good, as only God could do. Why? Because he's light. That's his plan for us. He's not only going to give us light, but he wants us to reflect that light. Isn't it great how God has provided for us in so many ways? The psalmist tells us in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That means God's word gives light and direction. So now here, light and direction, okay? If you're not in God's word, where's your light? Where's your direction? Where are you getting it from? TV? You're getting it from the people at work? You're getting it from your neighbors? Where do you get it from? You're going to get it from Mark Twain? It's the word of God. So if you're not reading the word of God, and I'd almost be willing to put my life on it, that there's many people in here who do not open this Bible every day. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. I know many of you do, but I'm willing to say many don't. So where's your light? Where's your direction? The whole instruction in the parable is that we're just not given light to have it. We have to reflect it. We have to reflect it. I want you to note this. In Mark and Luke's version, the parable of the sower and the soils precedes the parable of the lamp. Really, really important. His point in placing them together was to stress that when the word of God is received into the good soil, that's the heart, remember? 25% received the good seed. The manifestation of that seed being received into the heart or the good soil is what? The reflection of light. And so you could see how the parables just fit together. We're God's lamps, if you will. Now, we know from John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This means that those who do not have life or light have not received the word of God. And they're separated from God and therefore living in darkness. But praise God, we have a God of mercy. You know, I go back to the time when I didn't have God's light in me. I wasn't a believer. I wasn't a believer until I was 30 years old. I think I was that age. And then everything changed. For the first time in my life, because the light was reflecting in me, I saw things from God's eyes, from God's perspective. I was like in a learning curve. I had to learn all over again what life was, who God was. I was taught things about God that weren't true. I was taught things about how I would get to heaven that weren't true. I was taught things about how to go through life that weren't true. What gave me light and direction was the Word of God. Was the Word of God. And since then, I guess maybe it was a valuable lesson. God used that time. Why I didn't come to be a believer earlier, I don't know. That's up to God. But what was so impressed upon my mind is you line everything up with Scripture. If it doesn't fit Scripture, discard it. It's not worth very much. And so being older and able to compare what I was taught to what God's Word says was a valuable lesson to me. We're God's lamp, you know? But you know, lamps can be used for decorations, you know? It's a useful purpose. I think of some of these homes today. You know, we all have lights hanging from ceilings in some of the newer homes with the cathedral ceilings, or you walk into a new home and they got this big spacious foyer. You've got this beautiful hanging light up there. It's an ornament. It's a decoration. Looks good, right? That's a good purpose for a lamp. But you see, until that lamp is lit, it's not performing its primary function. No matter how nice it looks, whether it's on a wall or hanging from a ceiling or on a tabletop, no matter how nice it looks, it doesn't perform its function until it's lit. And we're the same way. We could be doing lots of good things, lots of useful things, but we miss the primary purpose of being a reflector of God's light. Just so simple, and I pray and hope that each of us see that. I like in John 1:4, he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And we talked about people living in darkness. But praise God, we learned from Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79, because of God's tender mercy. Praise God, we have a God of mercy. Mercy, compassion, loving kindness. God's patient with us. We saw that last week. He's tolerant. He's kind. He's patient with us. But he's merciful. He's merciful. That means he doesn't bat us over the head when we do something wrong. And it says the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. For what? To give light to those who sit in darkness. That was me. That was you. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us into the path of peace. You know what folks today don't realize is that to sit in darkness, you're living in the shadow of death. And in that terms and in that context, death is talking about eternal separation from God. That's a dangerous thing. That is not a place to be. That's why we're the light bearers. We're the light bearers. We're God's reflectors to bring light into a world that's filled with darkness. Well, now just think for a moment. If Jesus came to shine upon those who sit in darkness, which he did while he walked on the earth, okay, then how's the light to shine when he left the earth? It's just a simple deduction, right? I mean, he's physically not here. Well, how do they receive the light? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:6, he said, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' darkness is the one who was shown in our hearts. He's shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." You see our purpose? He first shone in our heart. That's regeneration. That's when we were saved. That's when we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So then we could, at that point, transmit that light to others who didn't have it or don't have it. That's our purpose. That's our job in life, if you will. It's the purpose of the lamp. Verse 16. If God gives us light, we're to give it to others. And we do this by sharing the knowledge of God with other folks. And listen, don't say, "Listen, I'm not that well versed in Scripture, Pastor. I can't do this. I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't go to seminary. I'm not a good teacher." Listen, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's what Satan wants you to believe, so you keep your mouth closed. That's not what God wants you. You know enough. You know who Jesus Christ is. You know why he came. You know what he did for you. You know how he changed your life. You know the promises he made. You know where you're going to spend eternity. That's the light you ought to share with those in a lost and a dark world. There is absolutely no excuse for not doing this. You know, the word lights here, that in that verse we just looked at, we're lights in the world. In 2 Corinthians 4:6 is the word phosphorus. It means a luminary. It's a reflector of light. Now, I want you to note the title Jesus gave himself in John 8:12. What did he say? It's one of the I Ams. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But he's the eternal Son. He has an uncreated light. It's part of his intrinsic nature. He is light. And he's not only light itself, but he transmits light to others. He gives it to us. He gives it to us as only he could do. We're not like that. We're not like that. The best way we can illustrate a believer's life is to use the moon. The moon is a luminary, just like we are. The only thing the moon could do, because it has no light of its own, is reflect the light that shines upon it from the sun. That's us. We have no light of our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The light God gives us is to be reflected onto other people. Paul wrote this to the church in 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that God hasn't given you? Just think that. What do you have that God hasn't given you? You know, sometimes we think, "Hey, I got this because I worked hard. I did this, I did that." Let me tell you, God's behind everything. And the same way he gives it is in a heartbeat, he could take it away. Just ask folks who've lost everything. In a split second, everything is gone. And in a split second, God can give you more than you ever imagined. But that's not the point. The point is everything we have comes from God. So we have nothing to boast about. Right? We have nothing. What did Paul say? "I know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." See, he was a light bearer. He was a light bearer. Because that's all he did. He spent his life telling other people about Jesus Christ. And so all believers have the responsibility of sharing the mysteries of the kingdom of God to those who are sitting in darkness. And you do that by giving them the word of God. That's the light, the word of God. What did Paul say to the church in Thessalonica? 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. The word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. I tell you, I think that would be a good thing. You'd want to stand in front of God at the judgment seat of Christ one day, and he's going to say, you know, Mike, I'm so proud of you. The word of God has sounded forth from you. You know, Elena, I'm so proud of you. The word of God has sounded forth from you. You were my light bearer. That's what you want to hear. And that's what we have to do here so we could hear that later. The word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. As word givers, they were lit lamps. You see, when each believer comes to the place in his or her life where they understand this and they're transmitting light, not only by receiving the word and then sharing the word and living the word, God fills us with more. He gives us more knowledge as we're continually in the word of God. And then we have more to share. You could never run out of things to share if you stay close to God, because it's like a running river. It's the Holy Spirit is like a running river in us that will continually fill us so we could keep giving. So we could continue being God's light bearers in the world. And then you begin to get more specific instructions for ministry. You know, I remember when I first started off as a believer, I had a hunger for the Word of God. And I would read the Word of God, and Elena will tell you, I would read for 3 hours a day, I don't know for how many years. I just had this hunger and hunger and hunger. And then one day I crashed. You know why? I couldn't put it all together. I was just filled with knowledge. I was just filled with knowledge. I wasn't exercising the knowledge. I didn't have enough time to let it all come together in my heart. I didn't have enough time to work it out, to take the steps of faith that were needed to test the Word of God to see how true and authentic and powerful it was. And so I kind of crashed, and then I took it easy, and then I kept reading. But then I realized I have to practice more what I'm reading. And as I began to do that, my whole life began to change again. The beautiful part of working with God is he takes you through all these different processes so that you finally get it. You finally get it. There's hope. You may think you're thick-headed. You may think, well, I don't do well. I can't study well. Listen, just stay with it. God will turn that light bulb on one day. Just stay with it. But you have to have a desire to be a light reflector. Because if you're not a light reflector, you can't please God. It's just that simple. You'll see this in the next verse as we get there. The light is not to be hid. This is what he says in the second part of verse 16. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed. And he warns us that trying to hinder or hide that light in any way is just simply foolish. It's just foolish. And he doesn't use one example, but two to make that point. First, he says, don't cover it with a container. And then he intensifies the foolishness of trying to hide the light by saying, and don't put it under a bed either. Wouldn't it be ridiculous to light a candle and put it under your bed? Just think about that. Just think about that for a moment. You know, I think God has a real sense of humor. You light a candle, you put it onto the bed. Nobody could see it. You're doing what God said not to do, and it's going to take a little time, but it's going to burn you. Just think about that for a minute. Right? I didn't want to say it, and maybe God didn't want to put it in here, but it's kind of like him saying, how stupid could you be? Why would you want to do this? I'm giving you this beautiful light. Why would you want to hide it? Why would you want to put it under a bed? It's only going to burn you. It may take a little while, but it'll come back to bite you. It'll come back to bite you. And now, as a matter of fact, his words, he puts it on a lampstand, indicate that God's light bearers are to be noticed. They're to be noticed. There are not to be closet Christians. So isn't that a challenge? I mean, my goodness, when you go through these parables and you start just thinking through them in the simplest of terms, and you just start asking yourself, am I a reflector of God's light? What do people see when they see me? Now, maybe when you're walking down the street and you're going shopping or you're going about your business, they may not see a halo around your head because you're not lit up in that sense. But we're talking about the people you work with, the people in the neighborhood, the people in the family. Do they see this light? Do they see there's something different about you? Or do they look at you and see themselves who doesn't know the Lord? If they don't see any difference in you, then you're not a light bearer. It's just that simple. Something is wrong. We've got to come out of the closet, if you will. You can't hide it. You can't. People say, Pastor, look, this may be easy for you to do, but it's not easy for me to talk about the things of God. Listen, you could do it. I'm telling you, you could do it. I just got finished saying to you just a few minutes ago, you could tell them what you were like before. You could tell them who Jesus Christ is. You could tell them why he came. You could tell them he took my sin away. You could tell them now I have a glorious future. God says there's either heaven or hell. Where are you going to go? You could tell them these simple little things. You could tell them he changed my life. I have peace in my heart. I have joy in my heart. This is what God did. You don't need to go to Bible school for that. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. This is just, it's pre-kindergarten Christianity. But you could tell them that. You can't get up to heaven and you're not going to face Jesus one day and say, you know what, God, I was confused. I was confused. I just didn't get it. Well, God will say, well, did you keep reading my book? I gave you a beautiful manual. It's all detailed. I was busy. Well, you know, there's some beautiful radio shows on that, you know, they really explain the Word of God. If you can't read well, you could have listened. Well, no, God, you know, again, I work a lot of hours. Well, what about your church? Well, what about your Christian friends? Did you ever go to a Bible? Well, you know, look, I went, but it was too hard. And I just tried and I kind of gave up on it. I could just wonder how many folks are going to try to excuse their way through that. And God, I don't know what he's going to do. I just picture it in my mind. He's going to go, stop. Stop. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you the Holy Spirit. What? Now, here we go back to the first parable in Matthew 13. I gave you the word. You were to bear fruit. Did you do it? What did you do with it? You see, there's no excuse before God. Think through these things. These are healthy exercises. The reason we think through these things is so you could look at your life. Don't look at the life next to you or the one behind you. Don't look at my life. Look at your life. When I go to face Jesus at the Bema seat, God's not going to ask me to give an account of Doug's life. He's going to go through mine. What did I do with my, what Doug does or doesn't do with what God gives him is going to be between Doug and God. That's not my concern. You know what I mean. Of course I'm concerned about what Doug does. Maybe you should come see me tomorrow. But you understand what I'm saying? The light is not to be hid. It's to be noticed. Now, so then, as we speak of being noticed, I guess the question we have to ask is, well, how bright does that light shine? Is it flickering? Or is it steady flame? A steady flame. Ah, that's a good one, huh? You mean I got to be steady at this? You mean I have to do this all the time? Paul tells us how to be a bright light. You want to know how to be a bright light? Philippians 2:15. Paul writes, so that no one could criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights. Live clean, innocent lives. That means don't engage in things that God says not to engage in. Okay? If you're doing something that God would not be pleased in, and it doesn't matter what it is, okay? For some folks, it's drinking. For some, it's drugs. For some, it's pornography. For some, it's adultery. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm talking about people at large. For some, it's abusing a spouse. For some, it's woman usurping the right of the husband. For some men, it's not being the spiritual head of the house. All kinds of things that could be not pleasing to God will hinder your light from shining brightly. God is not a mock. You cannot mock him. He knows. That's the next verse. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God so your light can shine. So your light can shine. Now look, this is not my instruction. This is God's instruction. I'm only passing it on to you. Now, Christ used the example of covering the light with a container. My version says a container. Some of the other versions say vessel or jar. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. But in Matthew and in Mark's account, Jesus used the word basket. That word basket is a Latin word, modius, and it was a Roman measuring basket to measure dry things. I think it was very interesting that in the other two parables, he uses a unit of measure by which he says, don't hide it under this. And I'm wondering, is he saying, don't try to measure out the light you give? Give it all. Give it all. You see, we're in a habit. Now just think about this for a minute. I think I understand why God use this. We want to keep what we get, don't we? We want to keep what we get. Whether it's for old age or we're stingy or whatever it is, we just want to keep what we get. And God's saying, don't do this with my light. Just give it. Give it all. Give it all. I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you more than you could ever handle. Don't measure it out. Don't be stingy. Give it out. Give it out. And you know what? When we do that with money, God does the same thing. You can't outgive God. That's the basic biblical principle. You cannot outgive God. The second thing he teaches us in the parable is secrecy with God is impossible. Look at verse 17. Nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not become known and come to light. That could be scary. That could be scary. Jesus had been speaking about hiding or concealing the light. And now he continues this thought by addressing the issue that nothing will be hidden or secret. Everything eventually will be brought to light. Everything will be made known. And so he's stressing the impossibility of trying to keep secrets from him. Now, this includes believers who withhold God's light. Okay? God knows. You can't keep that secret from him. If you're not being a light bearer, he's going to bring that to light. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And that also goes for the sin of people. You know, we're good at hiding things. We're really good at hiding things. But one day, God's going to shout it all from a rooftop. I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's what his word says. So if you don't want to be embarrassed, I guess now would be the time to fix things. Now would be the time to fix things. What does he say in Matthew 10, 26, 27? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Yes, Christ is the light of the world. And as light, he's a truth bearer. The light of Christ is the word of God. It speaks truth. People don't like the truth. That's why they hated Jesus Christ, because he exposed the religious leaders for the hypocrites that they were. And that's why they will hate God's light bearers, because you live in truth and you stand on truth and you present the truth and people don't want to hear the truth. That's why they will hate you and come against you. So you have the choice to make. What does Scripture say, John 3:19? This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. I don't understand it, but they would rather sit in the darkness than transfer into the light. And if you try to burst their bubble, you could be in trouble. Okay? And you're going to see the persecution is going to come more and more in this country. We're losing Christian freedom all the time here. We're losing it. It's getting worse. I don't know how bad it'll get. I sure hope Jesus Christ comes back very soon. I don't know when he's coming back. I wish I could tell you. I don't know, but I believe as I read prophecy, I say it's got to be soon. How much worse could this world get? We're going down the sewer morally. I never thought 10 years ago I would see the things happening today that are happening today. In just 5 more years, I don't know if I'll even recognize what a family unit will be like. I don't even know what pastors and churches would be allowed to say, because I believe that sooner or later the government is going to get into monitoring that as well, because we're losing our Christian freedom. I probably could get into trouble for saying this right now. I don't know. So the issue here is that of hiding God's light. And he says, don't do it. Don't do it, because I'm going to expose it. I'm going to expose it. You know, when you think about it, man's been hiding sin from God since Adam fell in the Garden of Evil and he hid from God. One of the first things he did when sin entered his life, he hid from God. And God came down, right? He found him. Now, I want to tell you why we have to proclaim the truth. It's in Revelations 1:7. I love this scripture. In my version, it's all in capital letters, and it says, behold, he's coming. See, that's why people have to hear the light. Behold, he's coming. He's coming. And they will see those, and those who pierced him will see him, and the earth will mourn over him. That's why we have to be light bearers. Maybe there'll be less who mourn over him. Look, I know God's in charge of salvation, okay? He's the sovereign one. I'm not trying to say anything other than that. All I know is that we're to be light bearers. We're to bring the Word of God to everybody. We're to live the Word of God in front of everybody. That's all I know. That's all I know. I'll let God figure out the rest. You know what? He's smarter than you. He's smarter than me. That's his responsibility. But by golly, he's given us a responsibility to reflect that light and not hide it. And if we try to hide it, he's going to bring it out in the open to our embarrassment. And I don't want to be embarrassed by God. I don't want to be embarrassed at the Bema Seat of Jesus Christ. I don't. I don't want to be embarrassed there. I don't think I'm going to be any great anything, folks. I just don't want God embarrassed with me. That's all. Really simple. He's coming. He's coming. And when he comes, the secrets of men will be revealed. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. That should be a motivator, I would think. And then the third point the parable teaches is also as clear. Truth must be acted on. Verse 8:18. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And so we must heed how we hear. Now, I believe this applies to every single human being. Every human being was made in the image of God. Every human being has a responsibility since the fall to come back to God, to hear the word of God, to respond to the word of God. And the listener has as much to do with the effectiveness of the message as the message giver. What good is giving a message if the listeners just don't respond or don't want to hear it? So God's given us a warning here that is a direct reflection of what he just said about everything that is hidden will be made known. You know that the verb in take care how you listen is a command. It's a command, and it means to continually do this. Now, with respect to the matter of listening or hearing, three things are stressed in the three different accounts of the parables. First is the fact that you should hear. In Luke 8:8, in the parable of the soils, which is connected with the parable of the lamp, what did Jesus say? He who has an ear, what? Let him hear. We're responsible to hear. Secondly, we're responsible for what we do hear. For what we do hear. Mark 4:24. Take care what you listen to. Take care what you listen. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you reading all these authors that I warned you not to read? I told you time and time again. In all the messages we've done, we've named person after person that you should stay away from. Are you doing it? Who are you listening to? What are you hearing? What are you filling your head with? You know, garbage in, garbage out. What are you listening to? Who do you listen to? Very, very important. And then the third one is how they should hear. Look at Luke 8:18. Take care how you listen. That means, are you attentive? Are you ready to act upon it? Look, you could sit here and say, okay, come on, let's just get through with this. It's getting late. I got to go home. It's almost 7 minutes to 11. You're going over. Get it over with. Come on. Look, if that's your attitude, honestly, you're the one who's got the problem. You're the one who's got the problem. Now, simple truth is some hardly listen. Look at Isaiah 40:21. You think I'm kidding? This is God's word, not mine. This is what God said through the prophet Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Did you hear anything? Is what God was saying? Did you hear anything? And some listen to be entertained. Look at what Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel 33, verses 31 and 32. He said, so my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. You know what I love about God? He says it like it really is. Why do you come to church? Is that a conscious appeaser? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about anybody who fits this particular criteria. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words, and their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. We're living this 2 Timothy 4:3. I believe that with all my heart. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Some listen to find fault with the message. Matthew 22:15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. They were listening to trap him. Not benefit from it. Some listened to gain truth. Hallelujah. Acts 17:11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They wanted God's truth. They wanted God's truth. This is the reason why listening correctly is important. I want to read this again. Luke 8:18. For whoever has To him more shall be given. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. We receive the word so we could share the word. And the more we receive, the more we have to share. And you know what? What God is saying here is, look, you know, God gives gifts. He gives blessings. He gives this. If you don't use it or you don't use it right, he could take it away. He could take it away. He could take it away. You know, that was the lesson of the parable of the money usage in Luke 19, a parable we're going to do very shortly. What did you do with what I gave you? How did you use it? Did you bury it? Or did you do something worthwhile with it? Because I'm not too happy if you hide it under a bed or you bury it in the ground. You get it? I mean, I think God's saying the same thing over and over and over in every different which way to Sunday so that his people could get the message. Could get the message. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said of this passage, I love it. I like that guy too. He's a great, great expositor. He said, there's no twilight living for Christians. You know what that means? You can't live between the light and the dark. That's the twilight. And that's what a lot of us want to do. We want to find the middle road. Here's the light. Here's the darkness. You know what? It's a lot easier if I try to walk in the middle. And he says, there's no twilight living for Christians. A believer. I think it's so, so true. And he in his commentary, he gave three examples of three men in the Bible who tried to do that. And I want to share that with you. First, he mentioned Samson. You know, the word Samson means son. And so he said Samson probably means sonny. Yet he ended up in a blind slave in a dark dungeon because he yielded to the lust of the flesh. Right? You know the story of Samson. Lot. Lot began as a pilgrim with his uncle Abraham, and he ended up, what? As a drunk in a cave committing incest because he yielded to the lust of the eyes. One was the lust of the flesh. Lot was the lust of the eyes. And then he uses King Saul, who began his reign as a humble leader, but then pride led him to a witch's cave, and he died of suicide on the battlefield, and his sin was the pride of life. Everything the scripture says, don't do. And so the point is, each of us is controlled either by light or darkness. So what's it going to be? You can't live in the middle. If you live in the middle, God gave us a beautiful example when he wrote to the church of Laodicea. He spoke about people who live in the middle. You're not hot, you're not cold, you're in the middle, you're warm, and you make me want to vomit. So don't think that living in the middle is a good thing. It makes God sick. Light or darkness? What's it going to be? Light or darkness? What's it going to be? Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to be light. Help us to be light bearers. I pray that our light is always flickering. And not just, I mean, always lit, not flickering, but burning brightly. Help us to live clean lives, Lord. That clean lives means a life that is consistent with how we're to live as children of God. Help us to put aside that which is not pleasing to you, that we may properly and accurately be reflectors of the light of Jesus Christ as we go out and speak the word and then live the word. For Lord God, our desire, and we understand our purpose as light bearers is to please you. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.